This time on the show, I'm talking about indie publishing, attitude, success, and legacy. Years ago, I mean hundreds of years ago, some writers published themselves. These writers include Edgar Allan Poe, Beatrix Potter, and Mark Twain. Roll forward 200 years, and not that long ago, publishing yourself, or self-publishing, was considered a second-rate thing to do. However, more modern names who have self-published include John Grisham and Tom Clancy. Because these names are now well-known in the world of publishing, the fact they originally self-published seems to give some credibility to the choice. Then about 15 years ago, we began doing it again. However, a stigma existed, and to some extent, that stigma still does exist. The stigma, I'll add, is a new thing and something that doesn't appear to have been felt the same way in the 1800s as it did in the early 2000s. I believe this stigma was an attitude that lay somewhere between fear and snobbery. Fear that books might never be the same again, and snobbery that, how dare an unagented writer have the audacity to take their career into their own hands? Okay, I get it. I've been on the receiving end of that attitude, so I'm allowed to be a little sarcastic here. The thing is, the basic standard of books was evolving, but for some, it wasn't quite on par with the industry standard. Indies books often stood out a mile. Bookshops wouldn't entertain the authors, and some people even suggested they weren't real authors at all, despite the years of effort it took to write the book. Also, just for clarification, the definition of an author is a writer of a book, article, or document. Therefore, if you write a book, you are the author. How interesting or entertaining the content is bears no relation to whether or not the writer is an author. You wrote it, you're the author. Back then, often the covers needed work, the fonts required research for specific genres, and the content was sometimes a little sticky. The problem was that anyone could self-publish, but just because you can do something doesn't mean you should. There were those who did it as a start to their careers, and some who did it because they could, much the same as years ago when I used to make my own clothes. It didn't make me a dressmaker, I did mostly just to be creative. As one of those early indies, not much was known about the process. We really were trying our best to copy what the traditional publishers were doing, but with fewer resources. We began to get adept at scrutinising the cover and insides for telltale signs that people might, shock horror, guess that it was self-published and eliminate them. The telltale signs, that is, not the people. That stigma was tough to begin to overcome. After years of shall I, shan't I, which mostly was about needing approval and permission from myself, in 2006 I published for the first time. I launched two books in completely different genres and for completely different audiences. One was for adults, entitled Dicing with Danger. It was a contemporary women's fiction novel, but at the time was described as an action romance, much the same as a movie would be described. The other book was a teen novel covering themes as diverse as underage sex, peer pressure and mental health. I launched at a bookshop in a nearby town in the UK, along with many other local authors who were also using the opportunity as a late night Christmas shopping experience. That night, I met a few people I'm still in touch with and one that I consider a lifelong friend. But let's go back a little. I didn't just rock up that night and slam two books on a table and say, "Hi guys, buy these." There was planning involved, organising, writing, editing, proofreading, marketing and selling. Sure, a few mistakes got through the net. Aside from my family assisting me, it was all down to me. Why wouldn't there be a few mistakes slipping through? Of course, you could argue, why publish if it wasn't top-notch? Well, at the time, I felt it was top-notch. It's only because we have learned so much more about DIY publishing over the last 15 years that we know some of it was a mistake. It was really tough because, as some of you may know, I've not been the most confident person in the world. It took a lot of effort to publish those books. It meant putting my head above the parapet and telling everyone I was a writer with a capital W. Confidence was in short supply, and I was certain someone was going to tell me to get back inside my box and tell the world exactly what a fake I really was. At the time, a few people knew I wrote, but just a few, and mostly just saw me as an admin person at work or the receptionist at another job, or even just my daughter's mother or my husband's wife. There were even a few times when the other parents from my daughter's school saw me selling books, or my books, at school fairs and giggled at me while saying, "Oh, you're still doing that writing thing." Writing was becoming my new identity, and because I knew how much research, how much effort, and how much time I'd invested in my career by that time, there was no way I was going to step back and say, "Oh no, sorry, I got it wrong. I'm not really a writer. I'm still a nothing." And I say a nothing because I left school without reasonable qualifications, and going straight into a recession reminded me that I really was a nothing, just a statistic in a vast world of other statistics. It was only after school I began to learn. I taught myself how to type, how to creatively write, how to research, how to create characters, how to love and embrace my creativity for what it was, a brilliant gift, a skill to be honed and not just part of me to ignore. I learned I could make a career out of the very best part of me, and that's how my writing really began, because for a young creative with no skills and was really educationally a late developer, what else was my mind going to create other than stories? And then my confidence took tiny steps forward. This is where attitude comes into it. Attitude matters hugely, and this includes attitude to yourself, your career, your industry, your contemporaries, your readers, and your future. Putting yourself out there in the big wide world for others to see means you have to be yourself. So keep that attitude in check, because it will reflect back on you, your books and your career, and later in your career too. After loads of research, of which not much existed back then, I made a choice and decided to do it my way. This was after a lot of manuscript submissions had been rejected, although I didn't self-publish because of the rejections. For me, it was mostly through my inability to see why I had to wait for someone to even just take a look at my work, let alone wait for that all-important acceptance. My main issue was that I was impatient, not for fame, glory or money, none of that stuff, but the fact that I knew at any moment all this work could be lost if I died. Yeah, I'm kind of morbid that way, but it's true, we can go at any time. I'd written upwards by that time of half a dozen novels by 2005. Of course, none of them were published worthy, but one or two were well on the way. This was my apprenticeship, if you will. But after all that work, what if I dropped dead? What would become of all that effort, all that creativity, all that research? Maybe it doesn't matter. Maybe it can all be lost and nobody knows about it, and life goes on and nobody cares. Yeah, I've been through that mindset too, the plight of the creative. Before I published, I was approaching a milestone birthday, and I wanted to mark the occasion by publishing these darn books that I just couldn't stop writing. Why was that such a big deal? I think it was a big deal because when you write a story, indeed any kind of book, you put your entire self into it, your heart, your soul, and because it's creative, it's art. And what do people do when they look at art? They become opinionated because it's subjective. What one person likes, another hates. And occasionally people don't get it and instantly put it down. It's rubbish, it's stupid, it's terrible, that kind of thing. And all that reflects back on the author, so people see them as rubbish or stupid and terrible. So what held me back all that time? Well, mostly it was the lack of self-confidence. Then it was the fact people would judge me and that would be hurtful. You notice there I didn't say everyone would love my books. Then if people did like my work, they may expect more, and what if I couldn't do it again after those few? The shame and the embarrassment of highlighting myself to the world only for me to be a nothing in the end. They were right. I wanted to be recognised for the work I'd done, not in a fame and fortune way, but in a pat on the back way. It's all about personal achievement, really. We all need to know we're achieving something, sometimes on a daily basis. Sometimes annually. Some people are content with knowing they have achieved one thing in their entire lives, and that suits them. For me, however, I need to achieve daily. I'm driven and fairly high achieving, although high achieving for me doesn't necessarily mean I get high marks with those things. Far from it. From my point of view and in my experience, it simply means I set out to achieve something that might be considered by others to be high up or out of reach for me. Sure, most of the time I don't achieve it, but sometimes I do. And here are two examples of my attempting to achieve something potentially out of my reach. Now, I mentioned earlier, I left school without reasonable qualifications, but during my life, I've taken it upon myself to study various subjects. And right now, I'm nearing the end of a degree, something my teenage self would have shrugged at because I just did not understand what one of those was or what it meant to life, jobs and careers. The other example is about 13 years ago, I intended to create a national event for those writers who, like me, wanted to publish themselves. It was intended to inform and educate writers. I was putting out adverts in national magazines and I set about hiring an amazing venue in Essex, UK, which had both space and historic interest. It was incredible. I had guest speakers lined up and I had organised several businesses to exhibit and others to sponsor the event. Unfortunately, in the end, it didn't go ahead because I didn't sell enough tickets. Mostly because the event was way ahead of its time and few people didn't even understand what self-publishing was all about. However, before I even got that far, one of the intended speakers heard about the event and said they thought it was, in inverted commas, a brilliant idea, ambitious but not unachievable. His words stayed with me because he seemed to see what I was about, the real me, not the one that most people see. So attitude is not just about the way you deliver your words, but the way you live your life and present yourself and your career goals. It's how you react to situations, respond to people, and treat others. Recently, I responded to a question on social media about what I thought success was in relation to my writing. Some people said it was writing for a living, others said it was publishing their first book. I answered with, I thought my success would be measured by people reading my books after I've gone. Yeah, see, I've mentioned it before, I think about my mortality a lot. The thing is, we all leave a footprint, no matter how visible it is. But if we leave a footprint that entertains, empowers or educates others after we've gone, surely that shows success. Of course, I won't be around to see that success, but potentially my family will. I think that's my legacy, and I've blogged about legacy before. I think about it so much. But while success and legacy are very separate entities, they're also entwined in so many ways. I've published 10 books since 2006. Those are fiction, non-fiction, and I've ghostwritten books for private clients. In the time I've been publishing, the industry has covered print, paperback and hardback. E-publishing has been created and evolved while audiobooks have made a big comeback, partially, I think, due to the way podcasting has exploded in the past 5 years. Now, all those methods of publishing have grown considerably in the last few years. Admittedly, all methods and formats except e-publishing existed before, but since indie has grown, the others have grown too. Now, I haven't published for 6 years, not properly. My last two books, both non-fiction, were e-published very low-key a couple of years ago, so within the 6 years, but I don't consider them achievements, not really. I've analysed my reasons for that hiatus, and that's for another podcast, but I needed to get them out so I could move on. But I didn't promote them, and unlike other books I've published, I didn't even hold a launch party. It was very unlike me. I usually celebrate the birth of each finished book, but my head just wasn't in a great place. I'm a mature student, some might say mature, and my course ends in summer 2020. I've been putting off publishing anything again until I can fully focus on it, because I know that nowadays, now that indie publishing is much more of an accepted thing, my works will be looked at with intensity. They will be pored over, reviewed, maybe enjoyed. But reviewing has become an industry all of its own, and people do not hold back. They do not consider authors' feelings because reviewing is about telling others what the book's like. It's not a hand-holding exercise for the benefit of the author. We're meant to be made of rhino skin no matter what, but we're not. With the addition of social media, people tell it like it is. And for the most part, that's a good thing, especially for the consumer. You know where you stand before you make that purchase. I tell myself I need resilience and self-confidence in my books, and I think I have that. Well, on Sundays anyway, certainly not in bucket loads, but it is there somewhere. I tell myself that I made mistakes with the first few books that would get me torn apart by reviewers nowadays, but the mistakes I made are things I can learn from and other writers who have not yet published can learn from. So my plan is re-edit, recover, perhaps rename some of those earlier books on my backlist and move on. I'll begin this process at the end of this year. They'll go towards rebuilding my author career that took a 6-year hiatus due to university, educating myself and creating that legacy I have an urge to leave. It's not like I've never published before, it's just that I'm known locally more now. I've written for over 30 years, professionally for half that, and broadcasted frequently, promoting other writers for nearly 9 years. I also tried my hardest to keep up with new technology as it progressed, so I have a social media presence too. I'm on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram, and in addition to the radio show, I run a podcast. So I have a following, however small, it's there. Of course, my insecurities are always there, but I try to keep them suppressed. Part of me thinks everyone is waiting for me to fail, and part of me thinks nobody cares anyway, so why does it even matter? So I remain professional, while including my quirks. "What if I fail?" asked the child. "But what if you fly?" replied her mother. "And that's all I can do. I don't know. Let's see how it goes. Thanks for listening."